And we'll build a few minutes again back on in the scripture in Matthew 18. And I was sharing there a couple of weeks ago because we were in Virginia last time at this time. And some people have questions about this, but the Bible says in verse 15 of chapter 18, we was talking about if your brother sins, if he sins, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. But if he does not listen to you, take one or two or more with you, so that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every fact may be confirmed. And I won't go through all that today, but I just wanted to share with you. Some people say, well, if you're going to the brother and say, man, you sin, you're judging him, doesn't the Bible say not to judge? Mm-hmm. And does it say that? Yeah. Well, you're right, it does. It does say that. Who's the only one judge? Who is that? God. Yep. Jesus. Mm-mm. Okay. Go to Matthew chapter 7. Verse 1 if you want to, or listen to me and catch up later on. It says, do not judge so you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged, and by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. So he's saying, don't judge so that you will not be judged. But in the way that you judge others, the same measure will be measured to you. Wow. You think, well, a lot of times folks will talk to me and say, man, now listen, I'm not judging them, but, well, you've already judged them. Right? Otherwise, it wouldn't be a but there. Okay? But folks, we judge every day. Right now, you're judging me. You're listening to, you should be. You're listening to the scriptures. Man, is this a man of God? Is he bringing forth what the scripture's saying, or is he bringing forth what he wants us to do? This is his own personal agenda? Don't you ever do that? You don't do that? Wow. Do you ever check the spirit what's behind a conversation? The Bible says to do that. Listen, folks, just because somebody calls himself a pastor doesn't mean they know what they're talking about. Follow me?
Yeah.
I won't do it today, but I brought a message forward a few years ago. I came out in a suit and tie. And I preached about 20 minutes, went back to the bathroom, came out with t-shirts and a pair of shorts on. If I stood up here with a t-shirt and a pair of shorts on, you wouldn't really listen to me very well. But if I came out with a suit and tie on, you would listen to every word I have in my... Everything. Man, hear what that preacher said today? Not knowing whether it's true or not. He says to check every spirit, everything that comes towards you. Make sure it's from God. So that's not a bad thing to judge, right? If we can't judge, why would he give us a spirit of discernment? He would say, I just believe everybody and go on. Okay? But what he does say here, Jesus is saying that whatever measure that you use to judge somebody with, be used for you. How do you want to be judged?
Lenient.
Righteous. Huh?
Lenient.
Leniently? Well, that's cool, yeah. I agree. If I had to stand before the judge, but, mercy, mercy, mercy. What did you say?
Righteously.
Righteously. Yes. Yes. I don't want you to judge me. I want Christ to judge me. In fact, He already has judged me. I want you to know God's Word, Christ's Word, that when you do judge me, you judge me through Jesus. Is that too complicated? I'm not insulting nobody. I'm saying, when it says if a brother sins, to go to them, well, in order to know whether they sin or not, there has to be some type of judgment going on, right? And so who has already judged sin? Jesus has. Amen. Amen. And so when we go to one another, we say, well, number one, go in private. Is that how you want to be judged privately? Would you rather stand in front of Judge Batchelor one-on-one and have him chew you out and get all this direction, or you have to have it on the front page of paper right from the very beginning? I'd rather have a one-on-one. Okay? That's what Jesus tells us to do. Okay? To go in private. So, first of all, we know the Word of God. And we see someone, a Christian. We are talking about someone professing Christianity, right? Listen to me, guys. It's not walking out to the world and saying, oh, you're going to hell, you're going to hell, you're going to hell, you're going to hell. He's talking to us. We don't have to judge the world, he says. Why? Because the world's already been judged. It's those of us who are born again, those of us who have the desire to follow Jesus. He wants us to watch out for one another. And I don't know what, Vic, I heard it too. I'm not sure what that noise is. Anybody else here or just me? Woo! In the name of Jesus! No. I think what it is, guys, they're working upstairs. When you go up the steps, I think it squeaks a little bit. I think that's what it is. At least,
well, I hope that's
yes. But if I see your eyes getting big, I'll be going out the door first. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Amen. There you go. Yeah. But it goes back to again His Word. As we know His Word, we are to watch out for one another. We're commissioned to do that. But judge as you want to be judged yourself. Now, I want to be judged by the Word of God. Understand that. I want, truly. You say, well, I don't want to be judged. Then you don't quite understand what it means to follow Jesus yet. Okay? And understand. Because I want someone, I want God's Word to continue to look into my life and show me more and more of areas that He's pleased with. And not pleased with it. It seems like every time we say, don't judge me, it's always like it's a negative thing, you know? We look at one another and judge one another. Man, look at man of God. Look at woman of God. Look what Christ has done in their life. I mean, judging isn't always bad. Amen?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not. But not to condemn. We're not here to condemn one another, right? No. No, we're not. But he says to righteously judge, as Ryan has mentioned there. But whatever measure it be is measured to you. So the whole thing behind it, when we locate sin in our life or anybody's life, it is not to condemn someone, it's to help them get out of it. Amen? It is to show them or show ourselves, if I can put it that way. Man, this area of your life isn't lining up with the Word of God. And I know you confess Jesus. And so I just want to let you know, Jason, that man, hey, let me show you some scripture. Let me just pray with you today. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Oh man, I didn't know that. Well, I know. You're growing in the Lord. And man, show them where the deficiency is and then bam. He's strengthened. I want Jason to be very successful as a follower of Jesus. I want you to be very successful as a follower of Jesus. Don't you want to be successful?
Mm-hmm.
Don't you? Okay. Okay. And I know, again, it's not common practice anymore. Maybe in some places to look at one another and try to help one another. Sometimes places are so isolated anymore. You know, that people just pop in for a service back out the door there's never any fellowship. And that fellowship is important. Whether you're here or on the outside somewhere. You know what I'm saying? Christians hang out with Christians. Because some of us, we got to get here and get gone before too long. We got to go to work and stuff like that. So I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying we get to the point that we come in, we've done our duty for God, and we get out of here, and we don't even pay any attention to Him to the following Sunday or whenever it is you come to church. And what He wants us to be in fellowship and have someone, a brother or sister in the Lord, that you can talk with. We shared before, accountability partners. What do you see in my life? They shouldn't be there. Or, hey, encourage me today, will you? I really feel like I've been stepped on. Am I doing anything right anymore for Jesus? You ever feel like that? Okay, well, I do. Every once in a while, man, God, did I do anything right at all? Everything's going to be falling apart. And boy, He'll just show you. He'll take you to His Word. But the next verse there, He tells us to do this. In verse 3 of Matthew 7, why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that's in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye? So you hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eyes. And what Jesus really shown is here, man, let's look at ourselves first. Look at ourselves. And when we talk about a log in your eye, I imagine if Ryan was standing up here and he had a little speck of dirt in his eyeball, and I'm up here and I got a log hanging on my eyeball, which one would you notice first? If I stood up and I said, now listen, boy, you got to get that speck of dirt out of your eye. Get it out. What would you think he would think?
I will once you get the log out of my face.
Yeah, you get the log out of your face, yeah. Yeah. I keep seeing, what's his name? Pinocchio, you know what I'm saying? He won't take me serious if I try to convince him that speck in his eye is messing up his vision until I get the log out of my own eye. I can see clearly. And so that shows the focus, number one, the Word of God, and judging, let's judge ourselves. First of all, look at ourselves. What is there? What is there, God Almighty? Now, we all will continue to sin to a degree. Follow me? We're going to do that. But we're not continually to stay in sin. There's a difference. Understand? If I embrace sin, so I know this is sin, I'm going to continue on, that is a log in my eye. Okay? You look at me and think, oh, man. He said, first of all, get the log out of your own eye before you help somebody else. And so what's the log made out of? Probably wood. I would say probably wood. And so if I have a wood log in my eyeball, and Ryan has a wood speck in his eyeball, they're both the same, right? So, if I have a sin that I'm embracing, and you have a sin that pops up, of the same caliber that I embrace, I need to get rid of this sin first before I start getting on your case. Because if you have sin in your life that you're embracing, you're not going to hear clearly from God. Because what happens is your intellect will give you every excuse in the world while you're staying that sin. You know, like we said before, the but God shows up, right? But. So while God is dealing with you on that log, we should not be involved trying to get the speck out of people's eyes, is what he's saying. Because number one, you will not address the issue. Whatever sin that you're entangled in, you will not address it as the Lord will give you direction, because you'd be preaching to yourself. I mean, can you imagine if I was ever preaching today about drunkenness? Okay? Now, the Bible says moderation. We're talking about drunkenness. And I'm thinking, man, you can't be drunk. If you're drunk, you're going to hell. The Bible said, don't be addicted to anything. Okay. How many people would pay attention to me? I mean, you would probably watch me stumble back and forth. But how many people would say, well, he's out of practice what he preaches? Wouldn't we say that? Okay. Yes, we would. Well, so that's what God is saying. First of all, get the log out of your eyeball first. Then you help your brother or sister get the speck out of their eye. So if we always look at ourselves first and make sure that we are following the Lord, then we'll see clearly to help our brother and sister who's in sin or who has sin in their life. not be afraid to do that. Because we should, you know, if you ever had a speck of dirt in your eyeball, just enough to agitate you, right? And someone comes along, maybe wife comes, hey, let me help you with that, and shoot some Visine in there or toilet plunger and get that thing out of there, you know. Well, once we get the relief, look how great it feels. Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much. And I think a lot of folks, when it comes to the church, the world is so much against the church because the church walked around so much in sin, and they're trying to tell other people to get out of sin when they're in sin themselves. Amen, preacher. All right. Now, I said the church. I didn't say you guys, okay? We're talking about the church around the corner, right? But we have to get that log out of our eyeball first. But that's where everything that we goes back to everything that we say and that we do, we're always being a witness for Jesus wherever we're at. Think of that. You might come in and say, man, I never witnessed anybody this week. Okay, maybe not. If you stayed home in the closet and had the door closed and never opened answer the phone. Okay? But if you've been out in public, I don't care where you've been at, you have been a witness for Jesus. And there's always... I don't imagine you lived a perfect life this week where everything went your way. No. Probably not. But how did you react to that? Man, that is being Jesus to the world. Man, I don't understand. But Kenny Wickie come through here and I gave him a part for his car and three times I gave him the wrong one. And he never got mad at me. Now the fourth time he said, let me pray with you before you get my part for me. You know what I'm saying? But just how to react back and forth to people, okay? Because the world will judge you all the time as a follower of Christ. They'll always try to find a reason to stay the way that they are because that's the way that you are. And look how awesome it is, Jim Domer. You've been called to be a witness for Jesus. Think of that. He's trusting you and every one of us who's been born again, trusting Him with the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He trusts us to be the ambassador to the world of Jesus. Anybody ever find it hard to read the Bible? To understand at times. Amen. What's easier to read about agape love or to see love? To see that. Your lives are pages of the Bible come to life. Jesus is known as the living Word of God. What God spoken, in fact, you look at the Old Testament, what God went through in the physical, Jesus came on earth alive, living the Word out. And we are the same. And we're not gods, but we are the same, living the Word of God out to where we're at. People say, I don't quite understand that Bible. I understand you. You showed me love. You showed me forgiveness. You helped me when no one else would. Everybody else turned their backs on me. So did family members. But you didn't. What a testament. And see, that's what Jesus came to do. He came to redeem us. And in order to redeem us, He had to go against the tradition. And people like going against tradition, do they? I get home and even my easy chair is moved. I don't like that. But most of the time it works out pretty well because the sun is long shining on my screen. So Carol moves the chair over for me just a little bit. And what I have to do is say, well, I guess it's better this way, you know. Follow my pride. But we have been called to be His representative to wherever we go. And to appreciate one another. The log in our eyes. They need to be removed. Amen? They need to be removed. And if you still have a log stuck in your eye and you're born again, man, that's where prayer, that's where... fasting comes, but it just... Jesus says you just got to resist. Turn away. Turn away. Like your brother Tim said, you know, it can be... Temptation can be great. He could have popped in a drug house last night, did whatever he wanted to do, but he resisted that. Christ gave him the strength to turn away from that. Wasn't easy. Wasn't, oh, come on, so familiar. I mean, come on, Saturday night. That's a habit we have. That's what we do. Right, Tim? You see? The man inside of him is building up more and more. He's a month old, is recommitted to the Lord, maybe 6 weeks old. Just a little baby. But man, God brought him through last night. Satan might have had a target on his head last night. Could have been a hot mix for him. His name could be on the pages this morning. Overdose, dead. But man, when God gave him the ability to get away from it. And it's one day at a time. That struggle, Satan will show back up again tonight. He'll try to give you every reason in the world. And we got to continue to resist the devil. And he said, he shall flee from you. Tim, they got some great prospects coming along here in the next week or two. And Satan doesn't want to see him get involved in that. Satan only comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And he'll do everything he can to get hold of our brother and wipe him out. But you know, the plan that God has for each one of us and for Brother Tim back here is greater than we will ever have for ourselves. You cannot imagine what God has planned for Tim and every one of us. You know, look at Brother Saul before he became Paul. He was out there murdering Christians, thinking he was doing the thing for God, but he was really in the hands of the devil. He didn't recognize that. But boy, I tell you, when you come to know Jesus, look how his life was turned around. The plan and purpose God had for Saul from the very beginning took place. And Brother Tim the same way. And every one of us right here. Satan lays a trap for you every day trying to get you to trip up. And he uses all type of means. You know, he'll use your weaknesses to get you. He'll use your strong points to get you because you think, well, I don't have to worry about that area anymore because I have victory in it. Next thing you know, man, I got released from this. How do I get back into it? Hey, repent and go on. In fact, you're already forgiven before you sin. That doesn't give you a right to continue to sin. Understand that? But when you mess up, man, you just, Lord, he already knows it. Do you understand? He already knows it. And come on, let's keep on going. Let's keep on. Hey, if you're walking with me and I trip, you're going to help me back up, but let's keep on going, right? I don't sit there, come on. I fell down. I don't think I'll go any further. No, you get up and you keep on going. And that's the same way the Master is with us in our lives. So we need a judge, but rightfully judge. And we judge by His Word. But we don't judge to condemn. You want to get out the Word of God and say, okay, I'm going to look in Bob Clark's life today. What can I find here? Let's see. I knew it, Bob! No. There's nothing there, guys. When we interact with brothers and sisters, when we talk to brothers and sisters, that discernment is going on. And you can listen to conversations, and the Lord will show you areas of people's lives, if they're struggling, what they're struggling in, and He'll use you to reach out to them. Not to condemn, but to reach out. And if we want to go through here and say, well, I know they're not a Christian, it says right here not to do this. And they're doing it. Yeah, but how about the other 20 things that God already took out of their life that you don't even know about? If we profess followers of Jesus, we owe it to one another to encourage, to strengthen. Now, yes, I understand some thinking. Yeah, how about the wolves and sheep clothing that come in the churches? The Spirit of God will give you that discernment. You know, man, wow. He'll show it to you because it's His Spirit in you that wants to guide you. Again, He took over your body. I shared this Friday night. You know, John, what kind of car are you driving here today?
Dodge.
You drove a Dodge, okay? Does anyone call you Dodge? Hey, Dodge, how you doing today? Okay. So when you got here, why did you stay in your car? Why did you stay out there? You want to come in the church? Right, amen. And you know the car ain't coming in here, right? Well, it shouldn't be coming in here unless Rita's driving, okay? Yeah. Ooh. John, you told me never to say that. No, I'm sorry. No.
Never judge her.
Never judge her. Yeah. But what I'm saying is, when we get to understand this, that we are a soul and a body living, a soul and a spirit living in this body. That's all. We're only occupying this body. We've been born again. This body someday will be parked, but Starkey will never die. Are you here right now, me talking? That's my soul. That's my personality. Wow, think of that. Just as John and Rita cannot drive their car in here today, or at least they shouldn't, okay? They had to get out of it to come in. It's the same way with us. Someday we're going to get out of this body to come into the presence of God in heaven for eternity. And we shouldn't be afraid of that. Don't let it hold you back on how God wants to use you. Amen? Don't let it shut your mouth. When God gives you a reason to speak, the Holy Spirit says, hey, come on, let's share this. Okay, I'll share it. Because this body that we try to protect so much all the time is only temporary. And just like your car, you want to wash it, you want to wax it, you want to keep it running good. This body here the same way, the best that we can. But don't worship the body so much that you won't do anything for the Lord because you're afraid you might lose it. You know? I knew somebody that bought a brand new car, and a beautiful car. It was several years ago, and they're not here. And there were people they would never go visit because they lived on a dirt road. And they did not want to get their car dirty. Now, we kind of missed the point of having an automobile, right? I understand there's a lot of work cleaning. But man, the automobile is given to you that you may go to visit, okay? And some way it would be the same way with our things in life, that it can control us so much that we don't open our mouths up as the Lord gives us utterance, because we're afraid so much what will happen to us. Oh, we might lose favor here, might lose favor here. But who do we want to find favor with? Yeah. Who says, I'll supply all you need to rich in glory in Christ Jesus? Wow. He said, I'll give you strength for all that you need to endure. Jesus says that, does he not? He offers everything to us. Are we just to be his hands, his feet, and his ears, and to watch out for one another? But when we judge not to condemn. We judge to uplift. In Romans chapter 14, I'll close it, Romans 14. Verse 10 of Romans 14. It says, but you, why do you judge your brother? Or you, again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God, for it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God. So then each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. So he's talking here about, why do you judge your brother? That's the question he puts out there. And why do you regard your brother with contempt? Now, judging your brother is one thing. Having contempt, having something against him, is a totally different thing. The last sentence says, so then each of us will give an account of himself to God. So each one of us is going to stand before God someday and give account for our life. Amen? And we're going to do that. And my desire is to have you there at the accounting time of the Beamer Seat Judgment and not the White Throne Judgment. The difference is, the Beamer Seat Judgment takes place during the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. It takes place during the 7 years of tribulation here on earth. When the rapture of the church is taking place, boom, we're in heaven. The Beamer Seat Judgment does not judge us whether or not we'll get to heaven or not. We're already there. You're born again. What it does, it judges everything that we've done here on earth. And the things that we've done for ourselves, the Bible says it's tested by fire, it's burned up. The things that we've done for Jesus, man, we get a reward for it. Awesome? Now, the other judgment is called the White Throne Judgment. So again, today, if I die, I'll be in the presence of God. I'll be there. If it's going to take place, we're going to have the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. We'll have the Beamer Seat Judgment. But for those who do not follow Jesus, they go to hell. And they stay there. Until the end of the 7 years of tribulation. They stay there to the end of millennium reign. They stay there until the time that Satan is released one more time. And then The Bible says, here comes judgment, the white throne judgment. So everybody is going to stand before God. I don't care if they believe in God or not. They will stand before God someday and be judged. The white throne judgment, you're judged on, you've already been judged. But why didn't you receive Jesus? I mean, I can't imagine what's going on in that spirit. I don't want to know. I mean, wow. So, would we not rather rightfully judge ourselves by the Word of God than have a brother or sister watch over us, to guide us, to appreciate it when they see something in our life that's not of God, to bring it to our attention one-on-one, privately, in order for us to resolve the issue? Do we love one another enough that we're willing to do that, even though it might offend some people? Even though, I don't care how sweet you can be when you bring it to somebody's attention, they will walk out of here and, oh, I'm not saying you do it here in church, but wherever you bring it to somebody's attention, oh, thank you so much for bringing that my attention, Tim. Man, now I walk out and just give me 3 minutes and Satan says, man, who do Tim think he is judging you? Well, if I don't concentrate on it, I thank my brother, he loves me enough to tell me that. Man, who is Tim anyway? And see how quickly I can turn against you? But I need to appreciate that. We need to be involved in this thing together. And so, again, when you tell me I'm born again, I'm following Jesus, I do hold you at a higher standard than I do if someone says, nah, man, I'm here, but I'm not born again yet. Okay? Well, I mean, I hold you at a higher standard that I will... I hold you to the Word of God. Okay? The same as you hold me, right? Amen? Okay. We're supposed to do that because we need to be watching one another. Those who say, man, I'm out of church. I don't know anything about this Jesus thing yet. Okay, but keep coming back. Keep hearing the Word of God because He loves you. Okay? And he wants to redeem us from our sins. Two totally different things there, you know. But the minute you tell me that you're a follower of Jesus, man, I hold you accountable as you better hold me accountable. But I do it out of love, okay? Number one, you're representing my God. You're representing my Messiah, okay? And so when you see something in my life that doesn't represent Him correctly, bring it to my attention, because it's not about Starkey anymore, it's about Jesus. Man. This different suit coat just messes me up. But it's not about me anymore, it's about Jesus. And it's about Him upon this earth redeeming more and more people, working through me, working through you. Amen? And that's where He wants us to be in our lives, not to be so easily offended. You know, maybe somebody brings something to your life and say, man, send me. Look at what's going on here. You say, well, there's nothing going on there. Oh, man, awesome. Praise God. Well, you should love me enough, at least I brought it to you, you know what I'm saying? But the old person inside of me, trying to judge me? No, I'm just sharing what I saw in my life. Like Brother Jason said earlier, you know, eating healthier, he feels better, he gets stronger, you know? I'm not offended he's speaking against donuts anymore, you know what I'm saying? No, I'm not offended by that at all. He wasn't looking at me and staring at my stomach when he said that, like, you know, eat healthier and stuff like that. So we don't want to be so easily offended as followers of Jesus. We need to appreciate all the encouragement and the word that people share with us and be willing to let the Word of God to transform us into His image, to use by Him to bring this light that we have into the darkness of this world to make a difference for Him. Amen? Yes. Amen. So now I'm going to go around the room and have everyone stand up and judge a person sitting beside you. And just kidding you. Just kidding you. But again, it's helping one another out, you know. We did it in football practice. You know, you're out there in the 2-a-days and you watch your brother, make sure that you get dehydrated, you know what I'm saying? And you walk over to somebody and they're dehydrated and you say, man, I think you need water. And don't judge me. No, you appreciate that. Have you ever been dehydrated? You ever have your arms locked? I've been in a hay field before, throwing bales of hay up, and my arms lock up, so dehydrated. I appreciate when someone says, hey, you need some more water here. That's where He wants us to be with one another. And just live for Him. Amen? Amen. All right. God is awesome.